Good morning. I want to acknowledge Mike Clark, who's not with me today, also a faculty member in the Department of Nursing, is my co-author in this. And I hope I... Okay. And my disclosures are the decision aids for this project were provided by the Foundation for Informed Medical Decision Making. And I am a consultant with the National Nursing Centers Consortium and the Public Health Management Corporation, which were collaborators on the project. So the National Nursing Center Consortium, the Foundation for Informed Medical Decision Making, the Pennsylvania Governor's Office of Healthcare Reform is who funded the project, Public Health Management Corporation, and Temple University. Even though money was tight in 2009, we had a mayor who was very much into healthcare reform, who has since left. But the director of his program, Andrew Grosso, contacted the National Nursing Center Consortium and Temple University regarding her interest in shared decision making. And they gave us a little bit of money, and it was one of those things where there was last minute money. You had to go to some place that could make an electronic transfer quickly to get it out of there. And Temple is part of the Commonwealth system of higher education. So every once in a while, some of these projects are kind of dropping your lap, and this is one of those. Ann and I really weren't quite sure how to do this. Ann's background is a lawyer. And she actually argued the case in Pennsylvania that got all children covered by insurance. So some of her interest in shared decision-making long-term goes along, will it really impact increasing the status as informed consent? Is it enhanced informed consent? So coming from her background, I think that's what really spurred her interest. Dartmouth-Hitchcock has a Center for Shared Decision-Making that is also supported by the Foundation for Informed Medical Decision-Making. Health Dialogue supplies the decision aids. In other words, they produce the decision aids. The Foundation actually provided us with the decision aids without cost. Besides providing us with the decision aids, Richard Wexler, who is the Director for Patient Support Strategies with the Foundation, and Kay Clay, who really heads up the Dartmouth Institute on Health Policy and Clinical Practice and their outreach group. So Ann and I went up to Dartmouth, and there we really got a much better idea of what we wanted to do. The difference in this project is shared decision making has been used, but primarily with insured populations, privately insured. And we were using them with Medicaid and uninsured patients. And according to the foundation, with their work, we're the only group in the country and in the world so far that is using their products with the uninsured and Medicaid populations. So they came down to make a couple site visits, and luckily were very much intrigued with our nurse-managed health centers that really serve the chronically homeless, public housing residents. They have continued to support us in terms of consulting with biweekly phone calls for a while, and now we're doing group phone calls every month to keep the project going. It was spring of 2010 when we began to really plan the implementation of the project. And we had five nurse-managed practices that were in Philadelphia and then one that was outside of Philadelphia in Kennett Square, where there's a large immigrant Mexican population that work on the mushroom farms and also in the horse farms in that area. And all of these nursing centers were part of another program together out of which this funding came, which was the Chronic Care Initiative. And in Pennsylvania, it started in the southeast corner, and it had 32 practices, primary care practices, from very small to quite large practices. And eight of those practices, five of when these centers were nurse practitioner-run practices. The governor was very intrigued with nurse practitioner practices, and he really helped us in Pennsylvania move forward in this area. The decisions aids were either viewed in the center, so we provided headphones and DVD players so they could listen to them in the waiting rooms. These are very small centers. They could also be provided with projectors, so if they were doing groups, they could use the projector, or they could also be sent home with an envelope to mail back. Then when an individual was selected, and I'm going to share what the decision aids were in a few minutes, they faxed in what the decision aid was, and then permission to contact the patient. When we initially started this, we were using a nurse practitioner to coach. They would coach over the phone, in person, at the site, at McDonald's, wherever it would be helpful if the patient had questions. And when they coached, it was regarding either answering questions about knowledge, helping the person really clarify how their decision related to their personal values, or helping them really to support a decision that they had made. In 2011, the project funded ended. We're continuing regardless and looking for additional funding. And the decisions aids were continuing to be provided, and that would be the costly piece of this. The other thing we did is we really wanted to integrate this into the primary care practices, so we moved from nurse practitioners doing the coaching to the RN care managers within those centers, which was a way of sustaining it long-term without funding for an additional person. And we also are working with an electronic medical database now in order to enter the information. Decision aids, I don't know how many have you seen the decision aids? They're booklets and they're DVDs. And they're patient-based tools that develop to support and streamline the medical decision-making process. And randomized trials they have done through the foundation have shown that the use of the decision aids improves decision quality. The decision aids are supposed to include, they all include evidence-based information, and the foundation for evidence-based medical practice provides the evidence, and then Health Dialogue creates the actual tools. They include both a paper-based and a DVD in them. Our population, in the first round, we did the first year, none of our population read the booklet. It's very high literacy, very dense, but the decisions they themselves are really good with great graphics for them. These are the decisions aids that we did, and Rita's going to recognize two of those people who are my staff on there. And we did a lot of things. We put posters up. We had brochures. We also had buttons because we gave this a tagline, Better Decisions Together. So all the practitioners wore a big yellow badge that said, Ask us about Better Decisions Together. And so it was through the posters and the buttons and the brochures that are handed out as they come in so they can select if they're interested. Besides the original list that we have here, and you can see some of these are really at points of decision-making like knee replacement surgery. You know, others are in terms of process with diabetes to help someone move to the willingness to move from oral medication to injectable, or for depression, to help people decide that they're willing to take the medication. And with PSAs, we're really using that so that people can make a clear decision, because if they're not willing to move on to the next step, there's really no reason for that screening in the first place. In our first, we had about an N of 80 for the first year we worked, and 64% were males in that group. Part of that because one of our centers that serves the chronically homeless in Center City, Philadelphia, has a very high male population. 48% were African American, 32% were Hispanic, and 60% were white. 37% had an education that was 8th grade or below. 26% had some high school, 16% high school graduates, and 1% some college. The decision aids that they chose, 49% were diabetes. And in this chronic care initiative that we're working, the focus for adults was diabetes. So that's a lot of the reason that that was selected so highly. And that was selected in Pennsylvania because it was the major reason for unnecessary hospitalizations. 8% were abnormal uterine bleeding, 8% for chronic pain, 8% for depression, 8% weight reduction surgery. Didn't think anyone would choose this, but it was a hot item, and it's even become hotter. 6% for osteoarthritis of the knee, 6% for PSA, 5% for menopause, and 2% for chronic low back pain. The outcomes, we had limited data when we look at the number the number of aids that we use. But as I said, 100% of these patients only watched the DVD. But 87% of the patients believe prior to watching the DVD that they should have an impact on the decision with their provider. And that surprised us. But it really points out the importance of patients having the knowledge they need if they're going to participate in the decision-making. And especially true in safety net populations where there's low literacy, low numeracy, and those who are being served by this particular clinic. 92% of the patients believed after watching the DVD decision aid that the decisions about their care should be made by themselves, and 8% felt they should make the decision all by themselves. Our future direction, we're really an integrated referral management system has been generated for the distribution and the return of decision aids. And what we do is we're really doing previewing surveys, post-viewing surveys, and 30 days afterwards we're checking in. For the evaluation of this project, we use de-identified patient data. And now as we're moving forward, we're going to be, at this point in time, we're entering them into a web-based system, which is going to allow the foundation to also compare our data with some of their data they've had over the years. The National Nursing Center Consortium signed a memorandum, and so the foundation has continued to provide us with those DVDs. And we are continuing to look for additional funding so that we can continue the work. We've done a lot to streamline the cost by having the RN care managers. The Kenneth Square nurse-led group dropped out, and we added another center for this year that's really a mixed model that provides care for HIV patients as well as primary care. And that center has two physician's assistants, and two nurse practitioners. And that's my contact information. And I have to thank you.